rather than tell yourself, I have to create this thing, I'm going to do this, I need to do this, goddammit. Why don't we not instead try saying to ourselves, I'm going to sit down for 45 minutes or for an hour, and I'm going to allow myself to create. Welcome to the INF Club podcast. I'm Jazz Hoti, and this is the podcast for INFJs and INFPs and other intuitives and highly sensitives to provide you with nourishment, understanding, and inspiration as you navigate your journey. Whether you are listening for the first time or you have tuned in previously, thank you for being here and welcome to the show. Everyone, it's Jazz, bringing you another solo episode today, and this one is all about feeling creative, some of the challenges that we experience, and a helpful mantra that I've found to be helpful, which is why I call it a helpful mantra. So I actually, if you're listening to this in real time, I published this on the blog just last week, and yeah, I felt like one that I wanted to hear myself say out loud and maybe share some kind of in the moment commentary alongside. So this is going to be a narration. And like I say, whilst I am narrating, I might well just add some of my in-the-moment thoughts. So here's how it started. So, this is dated 24th of March 2021. And the newsletter began as follows. Hello. And I don't often begin my newsletters in this way, but my goodness, it's been a while since I shared a blog piece with you. The one I'm sharing today is the first one this year, in fact. In recent weeks, you might have noticed from INF Club's website / podcast / Twitter account that the messaging behind the club has honed a little. This has happened as I've realised more of who I'd like INF Club to serve, as well as noticing who the club is attracting. Thankfully, those two things appear to be in sync. INF Club is a place for INFP and INFJ writers and creatives. You might be working on a casual project or business, or treading that place in between. INF Club wasn't making any money until just over a year ago, and if I'm being honest, it's only started to feel like a business in recent weeks. Perhaps as I've grown as a person this last year, or perhaps with the recent launch of my first paid program. So really, this is quite meta. I'm treading the same path as many of you who are reading this very newsletter. Whether you are running a casual project or a business, what I am passionate about is two big things. Number one is creation. That's expressing and sharing pieces of yourself in a way that's meaningful to you, perhaps through a blog, a course, a book, or something else from the blog piece that I'm about to narrate. Maybe it's a combination of things, because many of us are multi-potentialites or multi-passionates after all. So that first piece is creation. The second piece of this puzzle that I'm passionate about, there's a lot of P's all in one go for you, is distribution. That's sharing this work of yours with the world, whether it's currently your intention to make money from doing so or not. If you fall into that former category and you do want to make money, you might know this part better as marketing. I'd like to think of it as distribution, because that's kind of what I feel marketing is. It's distributing your content in places where your people might find it, and your people being those who are kind of likely to be interested in what you have to say. Let me give you an example. If I wanted to sell fish, I might, or fish and chips, let's say, I might open up a little place on a busy high street, or do some sort of pop-up stand in on a sunny day in some sort of touristy area. I'm probably not gonna open a fish and chip place in the middle of I don't know, a convention for vegans. It's really important, as best you can, to show up in relevant places to where your audience is likely to hang out. And your audience might be a certain age. They might have certain interests. There's these, what we call demographics, are helpful, but really what I also prefer to look at is something called psychographics. So you're not just talking about height, weight, and the generic stuff, but you're actually just talking about kind of more nuanced, deeper pieces of someone's psyche, it feels like. So the, you know, psychographics for the INF club, for example, might be INFP and INFJ personality types, you know, folks who identify as being an INFP or an INFJ. Could be writers, could be bloggers, creatives, multi-passionates, all this stuff. I would say roughly the age of kind of 25 and up, really. I think if my podcast stats are anything to go by, there's a big, let me open that up actually whilst I'm recording, because I was just so I can give you an accurate quote. So yeah, seeing as we're talking about demographics and psychographics, so yeah, according to Anchor, my podcast host, the biggest bar is 28 to 34 years old, who listen to the podcast, this is, so that's 29%. But then you've got 25% who are 23 to 27. You've got in total 31% who are between 35 and 59. So yeah, about 25 and up, I would say. But yeah, distribution is important. And if I'm being honest, that's something which, especially, I guess, whilst INF Club has felt like a fun project, I've not thought an awful lot about, over and above just natural carry through, I don't know, podcast guests sharing it with their audience, or, you know, my newsletter subscribers reading. Maybe I kind of tweet and people read and share. But I'm starting to think more about this myself, if I'm being honest, this distribution / marketing piece. And for me, it's really gonna be honing in on the platform I feel the most comfortable with right now, and that's Twitter. And it's also gonna be thinking about how I can just kind of reshare some of the backlog of content I already have, maybe repurpose some of the content I have already on the podcast, YouTube, and the blog, and perhaps also Trying to find like a space. So you get these kind of more community, really social media slash community spaces. You got Twitter, you got Reddit, you got one called Quora. Maybe kind of showing up, and just being helpful, answering questions. Probably the writer community is one that I could look at. So yeah, I'm doing a lot of thinking about this personally myself. Okay, so those are the two things I'm passionate about, creation and distribution. The newsletter continues. All of that to say, welcome to the club, and thank you for being here along with me for the ride as I navigate my own creative path and all the bumps and joys along the way. I've kind of realized that those two things come as a pair. So here's to more of those bumps and joys. And then, in relation to the specific piece that I wrote, called On Feeling Creative, a helpful mantra I use. And the subheading is, whatever is your type of creative, here are some of the things you might have to contend with and a mantra that might help you. So yeah, creative can mean different things to different people. There's different types of creatives. You might be a writer, and you can be within that a kind of an author, fiction. You might write poetry, you might have a blog, you might be a creative musician, dancer, the endless goes on. The list goes on and is endless. So whatever your type of creative, there are some things that we all kind of have to contend with. And here starts the piece. Perhaps your day job requires your being creative in some way. Perhaps you have a creative hobby or a side project like writing, designing, drawing, making music, or more than one of these things. Whatever is your type of creative, here are some of the things you might have to contend with and a mantra that might help you. First of all, the word creative itself. I'm not creative enough. Wait, wasn't it not so long ago that I uttered these words to myself? Now, seeing as you don't get to experience my internal chatter, let me tell you, yes, that was me. I said those words to myself. Has anything really changed for me? Calling yourself creative, or perhaps more, even more so, an artist, can bring up all kinds of, oh, that's not me, feelings, slash, denial, slash, just general unworthiness. Creativity and art are for those wonderful souls we admire who were born with God-given talent, right? So calling ourselves creative or a creative feels, well, wrong. Even if that's exactly where what we are, and we are proving to ourselves that we are each time that we create something. Every time you put a pen to paper, let this serve as a reminder that you are, in fact, creative. In which case, calling yourself a creative, like I've been embracing recently, is a useful thing to try to get used to. It's why I've been owning my identity as a writer and creative in my bio lately online, and I link there to jasraj.me, www.jasforsugarraj.me. It's like a portfolio page of me and who I am, kind of all in one place. And I've kind of had various bios in the past, but I've really been owning calling myself a writer and a creative. I think the current tagline is writer and creative coach, really claiming these parts of myself. So, the first potentially problematic thing is that word creative itself. Secondly, but am I a proper creative? So maybe you're kind of, okay, I'm creative. Yeah, okay. I'm following you, Jazz. But then you're asking yourself, am I a proper creative? Now, each and every one of us does a lot of creating. It might be a modest masterpiece. And these examples might make you laugh, but hear me out. When we tidy our beds in the morning and neatly arrange those pillows, when we make a meal and we're cutting up the bread, the toast, or the sandwiches, when we're laying it out on the plate, when we take a different route for our commute or our lunchtime walk, like, I've kind of been trying to mix things up lately because my walk has started to get a little bit monotonous, it feels like. However seemingly small or insignificant, these are all creative acts. And yet, there's that question that we ask ourselves, but don't I need to actually produce art to be creative? Like write a book or create this intricate painting or a best-selling album? Right, so let's break this down. What we're really asking ourselves is, don't I have to create some kind of big project? The sort that takes months, maybe even years, certainly weeks and months. B, doesn't this big project have to be deemed really good by a substantial group of people? Isn't it amazing how high the expectations we place on our shoulders are? And how so often we can set ourselves up for disappointment and for failure by setting these so-called conditions. They can weigh us down. We create our own shackles and then we throw away the key even before we've begun. I'm not creative. I'm not worthy. I'm not a proper creative. No, da, da, da. All this stuff. Just if you are someone who is a writer or creates things, you will know that that practice is in and of itself enough, right? Finding the time, actually kind of the psychological stuff, the emotional stuff that can come up, which prevents us or can hinder us, or that we've otherwise got to work through or navigate without us weighing ourselves down with these preset conditions. It's just heavy. We seem to do everything we can to separate ourselves from this creative label, all because we're not Stephen King or Mozart or that person on Twitter or Instagram with all the likes and the followers. I mean, seriously, we need to chill. We need to notice the little ways that we're creative each day, when we're making our bed, when we're making food, when we're writing our journal entry. These are all creative acts. And I want you to think of the little creative acts you've partaken in today, including those not so obvious ones, some of which I've mentioned, that you probably do before your day's probably even gotten started. Okay, so I've talked about the word creative. I've talked about being a so-called proper creative and that kind of myth and fallacy. And then the third point is on actually getting creative word done. Now, on the one hand, I have some conditions under which it feels more likely for me to write and for me to write well. For example, when I've had a good night's sleep, when I feel generally calm and centered, when I've created space in my day. This is usually in the morning or in the afternoon after I've, done some form of movement, perhaps a walk, or when they're open, a gym workout. I try my best not to be on the phone or computer first thing, and all of my creating pretty much starts with pen to paper. Ideally, I work best at my dining table when no one else is around, or, actually, having said that, a cafe when I've got my headphones plugged in, or. Right. Okay. Let's hold on for a second. All these conditions. This and this and this and this and this and this and this. Now, you see, there is again a balance to be struck here, I feel. Because on the one hand, there are some conditions under which we create better. But at the same time, and this is the kicker, we are free to create as and when we want to, whenever we want to. I remember I used to, and don't get me wrong, I would find it very difficult to create, kind of in the middle of a busy high street, kind of sat on a table, like just kind of rocked up in the middle of some shopping mall, even if I did have music in my ears. But I remember being like, yeah, I need quiet and all this stuff. And then I think I just got, I remember I was working for a company for a year where I had to get the train and I was taking these train journeys. And then I was starting to work from the gym and from different cafes and just plugging in and kind of getting bits of work done here and there. Before I knew it, I could just plug in my headphones and I was able to write and create. And I was like, oh, okay, I've just kind of got used to it. And I think we forget that we are actually free to create as we want to. And we can, again, for me, so much, there's got to be the perfect writing session and it's got to be, all of this and everything's going to be lined up really nicely and da 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 da. Good night's sleep and rested. And if that hasn't happened, I'm like, oh, well, I can't have a great writing session. And really, for me, and I think for many of us, there's this need to kind of overly control our writing conditions. And this can actually have a detrimental impact to our writing. It comes from a place of self-doubt and other latent emotional patterns in our psyche. So you see, in my experience, being a creative is really about giving ourselves permission to create and to keep on doing so. Rather than tell yourself, I have to create this thing, I'm going to do this, I need to do this, goddammit. Why don't we not instead try saying to ourselves, I'm going to sit down for 45 minutes or for an hour, and I'm going to allow myself to create. I'm going to sit down for an hour and I'm just going to let myself create. Let yourself just be as you put the pen or the pencil to the sheet of paper. Just let yourself create. Due to our conditioning, maybe we might never feel like A.A. Milne, shout out to Winnie the Pooh, one of my favorites, or Stephen King, or Lady Gaga, or whoever it might be. For each of us, it has to start with letting yourself create. And to be honest, I've said it starts with that. I don't think this approach ever finishes. Or rather, this approach serves, I think, anyone. Even probably Lady Gaga or Stephen King. Whether you're a new writer, or whether you're a seasoned writer, whether you're just getting back into writing, or whether you've been writing now for a while and you've found some momentum. Whether you are having trouble with the practice, or whether you're in kind of creative flow at the moment. I think this approach can really serve anyone, just to carve out the space for you, little container, 45 minutes or an hour, I think is always a great place to start. And just say, I'm going to let myself create. I'm going to allow myself permission to put this pen or pencil to the paper and see what comes out. That's it. No judgment, just allowing, just curiosity, just playful, just kindness to ourselves. So honestly, I feel that this will serve me as a mantra for months and years to come. And I wanted to record this episode so I could experience myself say these words, right? Because I wrote this piece. But I too was like, okay, you call this a mantra, Jazz. Probably should be something that you could also use yourself, right? And so I wanted to reinforce this message to myself by hearing myself speak these words. I'm going to sit here with my pen and my paper, and I am giving myself the permission to write. You can change that last word, write, to create if it feels more appropriate. Maybe, you're a musician working with an instrument or some sort of computer software. As I know, kind of, DJs and other, you can kind of electronic music these days. Whatever type of creative you are, You can, yeah, give yourself permission to write or create. You might just find that that separation barrier between us and them, you know, all those people you find yourself comparing yourself to, you might find that that diminishes. And the more you notice those thoughts and feelings that come up for you, even the unpleasant ones, try and sit and notice them going on. It's helpful actually just to acknowledge that they're there. Thank you, I can see you. But instead, give yourself the permission to create from where you are right now. I can feel you, self-doubt, and you know, I can feel that I'm a little bit tired, and I can feel that, you know, I'm feeling a little bit doubtful about myself as I go into this writing practice, this hour of writing time. But I'm just gonna let myself have fun and just go with it regardless. So give yourself that space to sit down and create for whichever container of time feels good. As I've mentioned, 45 minutes or an hour is a great place to start, to see what that feels like and try and observe what has happened in that time as a neutral bystander. You know, be in the moment and maybe take a moment afterwards to ask yourself, you know, what was that like? How did that feel? Now this stuff is a little, it's like kind of building a muscle, kind of retraining ourselves. It's a little bit like yoga or meditation or riding a bike. So maybe it'll take a session or two for you to feel more at ease. But yeah, try that out. Try that out over the next week or over the next month and see what that feels like to you. And if those first, yeah, that first session or two feels a little bit bumpy, just notice and just give it another go and just see what happens. Okay, and that's it for today's solo episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Now and then it's been nice. I do receive the odd comment or the odd email in relation to these episodes that I'm putting out there. The episodes between Lauren Sapala and I tend to be, I think amongst the most commonly commented on episodes. But I wanted to say you can reach me at any time. I would love to hear from you. It's honestly one of the nicest things to hear from listeners or subscribers about what's going on for them and what's indeed kind of what's helping them in relation to the episode. And it kind of gives me an idea of what's resonating and actually kind of helps me serve the community better. So you can reach me at jazz@infclub.net. I've now fixed the sounds quite ridiculous to say it. My link was working kind of, if you just type in https://infclub.net, but actually www.infclub.net up until today, as I'm recording this on 26th of March, wasn't working. You can now access the website through that link. And I've now got something called an SSL certificate, which effectively makes the internet website people. You can tell I know exactly what I'm talking about here, but it kind of acknowledges that your site is safe and secure. I know some people were getting a pop-up that were saying, oh no, this site is, you've got to be careful before you enter. So that should all now be sorted. And also, may I remind you, if you go to anchor.fm, anchor.fm/INF Club, you can even leave me a voice note. Do subscribe to the newsletter if you haven't already. I send out a newsletter most weeks. We're also on Twitter, INF_club. And finally, I heard someone mentioned this on a podcast recently, and I always forget to say it for myself. If you're listening on iTunes and you wouldn't mind leaving an honest review, that would be fantastic. If you're enjoying the podcast, if you can leave 5 stars, and that takes about two seconds to do, and you can then leave a little comment if you want to. It just helps. Yeah, you're helping me out. You're helping others who might need this podcast find the podcast. So I am grateful for your support. Okay, you take care. Have a great week, and I shall see you again soon. Bye-bye for now. So that's it for today's episode. If you're enjoying listening to the show, you might wish to dive in a little deeper by heading over to www.infclub.net. There, you can subscribe to my free newsletter, and you'll find more little pieces to help you on your journey, as well as a community of INFJs and INFPs. Thank you for listening today, and I'll see you next time.